In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Glad to be with you today. We're looking at yesterday's gospel that the church gave us, and it's Luke 9:18-24. Once, when Jesus was praying in solitude, and the disciples were with him. Now, that's an interesting statement. Jesus was praying in solitude. He was completely absorbed with the Father's presence. And his disciples were with him. It was almost as if the disciples didn't have any idea what is happening. He's in another world. That's really real. He was in another world. He was tapping heaven. And it says that he was in solitude and the disciples were with him. I ask for that gift. Wouldn't you love that gift? To be so totally absorbed in the glory of God while other people are around you. Now, I'm not saying that that's something that should happen when I have someone in the office, but isn't it wonderful that when we go to church that we be so totally absorbed with God that even though there are people around us, it doesn't matter. We are completely, completely absorbed in the presence of God, in the presence of heaven. So once Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, Jesus asked them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" You know, who do people say that I am? People didn't know. They had no idea. But there was always gossip. You know, this is Moses, or this is Elijah, or this is John the Baptist come back to life, or this is one of the ancient prophets who has been raised from the dead. Oh, yes, they had no idea who Jesus was, because no one ever lived like Jesus and did the things Jesus did and proclaimed the kingdom of God, and heaven came upon the people. Then he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, you know what? I had a sixth grade class, and I said, this is the most important question that Jesus would ask you. Who do you say that I am? Well, some people say Jesus is a great teacher, and he is. But you know what? He's much more than a teacher. Other people say Jesus is a prophet. Oh, but he's much more than a prophet. If he was only a teacher and a prophet, he'd be a liar, because he said he was God. He said he was God. Before Abraham was, I am. Do you remember what happened when he was in the garden? And they said, "We are looking for Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am." And they all fell back. It's the name of God. Who do men say that I am? You see, he's more than a teacher. He's more than a prophet. Though he is a teacher, and he is a prophet, and he's God. But God who comes to save us, he's Savior. The Father sent his Son because we needed a Savior. We didn't need only a teacher. We didn't need only a prophet. We need and still need a Savior who can save us from ourselves and save us from our sins. Who is Jesus, true God and true man, who comes to save us from our sins? That's very interesting, because, you know, I've heard Jewish people say he's a prophet. He's not a prophet only. You know, that's not real. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." They said in reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the ancient prophets who has been raised from the dead." Then he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "You are the Messiah of God." You are the Messiah of God. Listen how Jesus responds. Jesus rebuked them. and directed them not to tell this to anyone. Oh my. He's telling the truth. You are the Messiah of God. And Jesus rebuked them. You want to know why? Because Jesus did not come to be king. He came to die upon a cross so that our sins would be forgiven and that he would save us from ourselves and from our sins on the cross. You see, the cross is the central message that Luke is trying to get by on this very scripture passage. Jesus rebuked them. In other words, shut your mouths. Don't tell anybody. Why? Because the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised from the dead. Oh, Jesus himself knew who he was. Jesus and Peter knew who he was by the revelation of God. But Jesus says, I don't want this to get out because I have something much more important to do. I have that which the Father sent me to do. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son on the cross. Far be it from me to glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ, St. Paul said, where I am crucified to the world and the world to me. You see, he came as a Savior, and that salvific action would happen on the cross. The cross. And you know, I'm going to tell you this. Then Jesus says that we are to pick up our own cross. I'm going to tell you this. We as Catholics have the crucifix. The body of Jesus is on the cross. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was slain, even in Revelation. And you know, I'm going to tell you a story about an evangelist when he was a little boy. He was a little boy, and his father, a grandfather, said to him, Tommy, we're going to plant watermelons. Watermelons? I love watermelon. He said, yeah, but it won't happen all in one day. And, you know, there was the package that he put down with the popsicle stick. And he said, do you see the watermelon? He said, we're going to put the seeds in. Now you have to keep your eye on the image. Keep your eye on this watermelon. So they came back weeks later, and there were little things like cucumbers. And Tommy said, that's wrong. We didn't plant cucumbers, Papa. We planted watermelon. And the grandfather said, what did I tell you? Keep your eye on the image of the watermelon. Don't be disturbed. The next time they came, he was again upset. He says, that's zucchini squash. What did the grandfather say? Look at the package. Keep your eye on the image. Keep your eye on the image. And then finally, at the end of the summer, the watermelon. You know, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. He is the image of the only God that there is. He is the true God. He is the true God who takes away the sins of the world. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight in his glorious face, and the cares of the day, they will all disappear in the warmth of his love and his grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight in his glorious face, and the cares of the world, they will all pass away in the warmth of his love and his grace. We need to keep our eyes on the image. Jesus is the image of the true God. He is the Lord. He was crucified for us. He died for us. He was buried for us. And he rose from the dead for us. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. I remember Mary Wilkinson. I gave her a song about, she made up a song about turn your eyes upon Jesus. I have no idea how it goes. And Mary's been in heaven for several years now with the help of God. I tell you, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes. He is the image. Keep your eyes on the image. Make sure that you are straight and you're following Jesus. Jesus is the true God, the true man who enlightens every soul. In the beginning was the Word. That's who he was and is. And the Word was with God. That's right. And the Word was God. That's right. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father. The Word became flesh. Where? In Bethlehem? No. It started 9 months earlier in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I tell you, this is where the Word began, just like where you began and I began, as a fertilized egg. And it was by the Holy Spirit. There was no man that gave Mary, impregnated Mary. It was by the Holy Spirit. So what do I want to tell you for the first part of this talk? Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Don't worry about anything else. Let your eyes be fixed upon Jesus. Look straight in his glorious face. And the cares of the world, they will all disappear in the warmth of his love and his grace. We're looking now at the letter to the Hebrews, or the writings to the Hebrews, the first chapter. God, who spoke in sundry and various ways in the time past unto the fathers through the prophets. God spoke partially through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, through Habakkuk. God spoke, but he spoke partially in diverse ways. He did not speak fully. He did not speak completely. But in these last days, now when did the last days start? At the cross. The last days started at the cross. In these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son. What's his Son name? Jesus. Who he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That through his Son, he spoke the ocean into existence. He spoke the planets into existence. He spoke the universes into existence. That the Son, whose name is Jesus, spoke the world into existence. God spoke the world into existence. He spoke the mountains into existence. You see, he does everything through his Son. Many people say that when Moses was experiencing the burning bush, it was the second person in the Blessed Trinity. It was the Word of God who was burning up that bush, but it was not consumed. Who is this Son? He is the brightness of his glory. He is the brightness of the glory of God. His brightness is so, so strong. Today the sun is shining so brightly in Boston. And when I came in to look at the Bible, I couldn't even see it because I was blinded by the light. I tell you, Jesus Christ is the brightness of the glory of God. He is the brightness of the glory of God. His brightness is far exceeds the brightness of the sun. He is the brightness of the glory of God. He is the express image of God's person. He is the image of God, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things. Now, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the person of God. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the image of the person who upholds all things by his word. Who is the Word? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, How did he purge our sins? On the cross. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, don't tell anybody. He rebuked them. Don't let anyone know, because the great thing that's going to happen is that I'm going to die upon a cross, and I'm going to establish peace between people and God, and between the universe and God. Oh yes, when he had by himself purged our sins on the cross, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's right. Right now, Jesus, the great high priest, ever lives to make intercession for us, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. You've got to know that. And he bears your name. He bears your name. He speaks your name to the Father. He speaks my name to the Father. You see, God did speak through Isaiah. He said, a virgin shall conceive a child. God did speak through Ezekiel. He said that the land would come back to the Jews. But God spoke only partially through the prophets. But through Jesus Christ, he speaks his complete plan of salvation, because Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and he upholds all things by the word, his word, and his power. And now he's purged us from our sins through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of Jesus. And now he sits forever at the Father's right hand, praying for you and praying for me. Being made so much better than the angels. Jesus is not an angel. He is so much better than the angels. How do I know? Because the angels worship him. He is not an angel. He is so much better than the angels. He is infinitely better than the angels. God bless the angels. Hallelujah for angels. But Jesus is not an angel. Some of the people in the early church thought Jesus was an angel. No, even the Jehovah Witnesses, they believe that Jesus is the incarnation of Michael the Archangel. That's a lie. The Word existed from all eternity. Jesus is not the incarnation of Michael the Archangel. Jesus is far more beautiful than the angels. All the angels worship him. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Oh, what is his name? Jesus is the name above all names. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not count himself equal to God a thing to be grasped at, so that at the name of Jesus, say it, every knee must bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue must proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's so much better than the angels, because the angels worship him. And you know, I think the Mormons believe that Jesus is the incarnation of Michael the Archangel. Never. He is far better than the angels. He is God in the flesh. He spoke the world into existence. He gave his life for you. He died on the cross so that you might have peace with God. Oh, the blood of Jesus reconciles us to the Father. The blood of Jesus reconciles us to the Father. Let's see what it says now. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Where did it happen? It happened in the Jordan River, when God the Father spoke aloud and said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Oh yes, Jesus' relationship with the Father. He is the Son of the eternal God. He is the Son that existed from all eternity. He is the Son that is called the Word. And in time, he is called Jesus in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. I tell you, Jesus had it right. His whole existence was based upon being the Son of the Father. His whole existence was based upon being the Son of the Father. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Hallelujah. We go now to Bethlehem. Hallelujah. What was happening in Bethlehem? The angels of God were worshiping him. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God in the highest and peace to men of goodwill. I tell you, the angels of God were worshiping him at his birth. The angels of God worshiped him in the Garden of Gethsemane. The angels of God worshiped him on the cross, even though Jesus was so in agony. The angels of God appeared where? At the resurrection, worshiping him. The angels of God worshiped him in the ascension. There were angels that talked, why do you people look up to the sky? This Jesus whom was crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah, and he's gone to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father to pray for us. This is so interesting. The angels worship Jesus. The angel, you don't worship someone less than you. We don't worship Mary, please. We don't worship the saints, please. We worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We honor the Blessed Virgin Mary. We honor the saints. People say, you have idolatry in your church. I'm going to tell you this. If you are a father or a mother or a grandmother or a grandfather, you open up your wallet and you say, I want you to see my kids. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they beautiful? Just the other day, Ryan sent his children to us on a message with a telephone, and his three children are gorgeous. Ryan doesn't say, don't look at my children. Look at me. I'm the father. No, these are my children. I tell you, the children of God are the saints, and the Father loves to show them off. We don't worship them. We honor them. Because they lived by faith like us. They are the cloud of witnesses that are rooting us on, turning us to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. It's so important that we know this, that the saints are our example. I've been talking about Vincent Ferrer, and what a man of God Vincent Ferrer was. He would go into an area and he would preach heaven and hell, and the converts that he made were so many, and not only converts, but he would heal the sick. Once he said, I'm not preaching today, we're only going to have miracles. I tell you, we need to be able to say that today. Not only are we going to preach, but we're going to have miracles, because you know what? Jesus said, they will lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. That's what Jesus said. And you know what? What Jesus said is what Jesus meant. Lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. And that's a good bridge to talk about the School of the Holy Spirit, which is going to take place at Holy Rosary Winthrop between the 14th and the 20th of July. Oh, people have been calling. And you know what? It's going to be a glorious time, a time of worship, a time of praise, a time to be instructed, a time to get activated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to be activated. You know, my friend Val, he got activated in the gifts of the Spirit by this. He said, you know, see what Father Tom is doing? Lord, I can do the same thing because I'm your disciple. And he prays hours on the phone with people in Brazil and throughout the world, and he sees great things happening. It seems that the ministry that God's given him is a telephone ministry. The first person that was healed had a disease that no one ever was healed of. It was a brain tumor, and it was an extensive brain tumor. And he prayed, and the woman was absolutely, totally healed. She's now a great intercessor. She prays for people. She prays that God would heal people because she knows what God did for her. He wants to do for others. So we're going to have the School of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be held where? At Holy Rosary in Winthrop between the 14th and the 20th of July. This is the number you are to call, 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. I'll say it again, 617-846-1210. This is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. I also need to hear from people. I think we need $16,000 to pay for May's builds, not even June. May's builds. We need $16,000. And God has always been faithful to us. If you received a letter from me, I only send out 4 letters a year. Please be kind so that we can continue to speak the word of God and to encourage people, and to encourage people to keep their eyes upon Jesus. Just remember, Jesus the Lord, he was praying in one place. He was in communion with the Father, and his disciples were with him. Please help us. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.